This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. As the state's COVID-19 caseload is now well into the five-digit range, a growing number of Michiganders have recovered from the virus, and it turns out they have an increasingly important role to play. Joining us now is Dr. Nigel Paneth. He's an epidemiologist at Michigan State University, and he's on the leadership team with what's known as the National Convalescent Plasma Project. Dr. Paneth, welcome to Stateside.
Good to be on, April.
Your project has developed an online clearinghouse for sharing information about plasma as a treatment for people who may be at risk of being infected with the new coronavirus or who may have already become infected. Can you tell us about what is special about plasma from a person who has already recovered?
Well, there's a long history in medicine of using convalescent plasma, which is presumably rich in antibodies to the disease that one is concerned with, and giving it to people with the disease in an attempt to provide them at least temporary immunity or to bolster their response to the virus or the agent of disease. This goes back 100 years. It was used before we had antibiotics. It was used widely in pneumococcal pneumonia. It's been used for many viral diseases. Attempts, brief or short, small samples, papers have been published on its use in SARS and MERS, the two other coronavirus disease, in H1N1 flu in Hong Kong, and they seem encouraging. And we don't know for certain, of course, that convalescent plasma will be useful, but we're undertaking the trials, and people are already starting to use it in places like New York.
Do we know why convalescent plasma can have an effect to boost people's immune systems?
Well, you have formed antibodies. Remember, if you've been infected with many, if not most, viral illnesses, should you be challenged again with that virus, you will not come down with it. You know, smallpox, for example, you used to get permanent immunity from having a case. Polio, many other, especially viral infections, more so than bacterial infections, give you a fairly robust permanent immunity. Nobody gets measles twice, you know? So why is that? Well, because you formed antibodies in the course of the illness that fight the virus. So the logic is you take antibodies from someone who's recovered and give them to someone who's just starting out their course of disease. And the hope is that that infusion of antibodies will help the immune system, which is just gearing up to fight the virus, and someone who's not doing quite as well with it as the person who recovered.
What's the difference between this kind of plasma treatment and an actual vaccine?
Well, the vaccine is what we call active immunity, and this is passive immunity. Active means we stimulate your system to produce antibodies, your own system to produce antibodies to the virus. That's the ultimate game changer when we have a vaccine. This is passive immunity. You're given antibodies. You didn't produce them yourself. They're just from somebody else. And they probably will stick around for a brief period of time. Nobody knows quite how long, maybe a couple of months. But we don't think it gives you permanent immunity because you're not manufacturing them yourself. You're getting them from somebody else. If you recover, if they're effective, and there was a vaccine developed, you would still be eligible for a vaccine.
Right. Why is it important to have a website for information about who's doing plasma trials and who might be in a position to donate?
Well, we just thought that it would be essential to try to get the word out. The group of us that began to work together nationally on this project felt that we needed to have a place to go to learn about the process as much as we can, learn about the regulatory barriers that exist, learn about the opportunity to give donations, learn about how we can maybe monitor its treatment, all sorts of things like that. The website is still gathering information as we go. It's largely served so far as a clearinghouse to link donors to recipients or potential recipients. We also are trying to get a functionality going which has to do with making at least some brief and simple observations on the outcome of people treated with convalescent plasma. Of course, you know, we really need trials. We hope our website will help link people who want to participate in trials as well. I don't mean so much patients as groups of physicians or hospitals or clinics that say, we would like to join, we will enroll our patients in a trial. So hopefully all of these functionalities can be helpful. There's another site just been set up at Mayo Clinic with the help of the FDA under the auspices of the Expanded Access Program, which allows people to use convalescent plasma in either very sick patients or in patients who might become very sick. It seems to be I'm not sure it's an absolute requirement or a recommendation, that they enroll the recipients in this website at Mayo Clinic. They've organized it. They've got past the IRB on this. And that's another important website, which we link to in our website.
The FDA greenlit testing to find out if convalescent plasma treatments can show clinical results in a way that might help sooner rather than later. Can you tell us anything about who's doing the testing?
Yes. There have been, to my knowledge, at least three, there may be more, applications to do trials. And that is separate from the Expanded Access Program. The Expanded Access Program covers just you're just treating outside of a trial. Trials have another pathway through the FDA. You see, the reason you're going through the FDA is because this is a new biological product. So it requires an investigational new drug approval, either for trials or even for clinical use. So the first step that the FDA did was authorize emergency use, and that was a one-by-one person. That was issued on March the 24th or 25th. Then on, I think it's April 2nd, they put out this expanded access, which covered a larger group of people and didn't require a one-by-one application, although that one-by-one application is still available to clinicians should they wish to use it. And then simultaneously create a website, sort of a registry to place people in collaboration with the Mayo Clinic who are part of our leadership team. So we're all working together on this.
Right. Just to be clear, if I didn't make it clear, though, that's a separate effort than what your project is helping to facilitate.
Separate, but we are talking to each other so we don't interfere or overlap unnecessarily.
Right.
So the trials now, one has been approved, just one, to Johns Hopkins. And at Johns Hopkins, this trial is to study the use of convalescent plasma in people who are exposed or at high risk of getting infected but are not yet infected. So very early, can convalescent plasma protect people from becoming infected in the first place?
So people like first responders, perhaps.
There you go. People working in hospitals. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you give them something that's a kind of an armor, in addition to their PPE, additional layer of armor, to protect them for at least a month or two against the effects of this virus? So I'm very happy to see that trial going forward. You can talk to the people at Hopkins. The principal investigator there, he's on our leadership team, is Shmuel Shoham. And we're beginning to try to work with him through our website and other means to try to connect him to pools of people who might be ideal candidates to participate in such a trial.
If plasma transfusions can be proved to boost immunity, is it ultimately something that might lead to treatments that everyone could get?
Well, if the trials are effective, particularly in the people at risk, then you could make a case for, you know, at least until a vaccine comes around, possibly some widespread use of plasma around the country. I don't think it would be feasible to give it to that many people, because how many donors do you have after all? But maybe in certain high-risk situations especially. Then, of course, we have to learn, and trials hopefully will get going soon, as to whether it works in early stages of people who are sick, who are infected and sick, or maybe in the hospital, or you know, even maybe more advanced cases. We'll have to do trials in all those settings to find out where is the best place to use convalescent plasma, if at all, because we just don't know whether it works. We're strong believers, all of us, and you have to do a trial first before you announce a medication or a drug or a transfusion works.
One of the pressing problems of the moment is that there are a lot of people out there who are sick, but who can't get tested.
Yep.
They may be sick with symptoms that look like COVID-19, they may recover. Does a person have to have had a positive test for COVID-19 to be eligible to donate plasma?
We don't think so. Now, I'll tell you what the situation is. The Red Cross has said if you think you had COVID-19 but didn't have a test for it and you have fulfilled the at least minimum requirements for donating, which is 14 days free of symptoms, right? At least 14 days. If you had a positive test during the course of the illness, the Red Cross at least, and not every blood bank operates precisely the same way, but I do know how Red Cross does this, they will require you to have had a negative test before you walk into the blood bank. They don't want people coming into blood banks who are still carrying virus.
Right.
Okay? So that's understandable. What if you've never had a test? Well, what the Red Cross has told me they would probably do is try to measure antibody in advance and see if you have an antibody response. So if you think you've had COVID-19, Red Cross will try to arrange testing for antibody status in advance and see if you have antibody and use that as a guide to whether you should give the plasma. For people who have been infected, clearly no doubt about it, and now it's cleared, they're going to, I think, take the plasma and test it once they've taken it, because the probability of that plasma being antibody-rich is very high. But for people who never tested, they may wish to test antibody status in advance.
What should people do if they want to donate plasma right now?
Well, they should go to one of the donor sites, our own, ccp19.org, or the Red Cross donor site, all of which we list every other donor site we know about. We also give connections to local areas that are just collecting by themselves, a group in North Carolina, a group in St. Louis, clinicians who are working together. So perhaps if you live in that neighborhood, you know, you might say, oh, I'm in St. Louis, why not go straight to the St. Louis folks? They may tell you to go to your local Red Cross, or they may say, come to our hospital, we're taking care of it now. You know, so we're trying to give every possible donor option to people. But we're certainly still getting a lot of people, even though we've posted these on our own website. Please put yourself down. Now, we don't know when we get a donor, we don't know that they're qualified. We don't know. Let's be frank. Some people say, I think I had a bad infection in November. I think it was COVID-19. Well, if it was in November, it was probably flu, not COVID-19. So there's going to be a sorting out process. That's understandable. We don't want to do anything to get in the way of people's urge and energy to try to help. And so we give people guidance, but we don't know how effective a donor people will be when they register. But then they can go to a place that takes donations of plasma, and that can be sorted out then.
What kind of timeline do you think is realistic to expect for clinical results on how effective convalescent plasma treatments might be?
I think it's very important not to get too far ahead of what we know. This is a promising treatment. It makes sense. Is it effective? We don't know. We will know once the trials are done. A major issue, by the way, that's clearly in front of us is if this is to be used, we're going to need a lot of donors because very quickly, you know, the supply will run out. So I would urge everybody who thinks they can be a donor to sign up to be a donor. We keep everybody's information. We will try to link every single person to a potential place as soon as we know of it, a place for them to go to. And the default, I think, would be if you don't know your local Red Cross blood bank, if you don't know anywhere to go, at least start from there. But hopefully within the next, you know, few weeks, we will learn, you know, trials can be mounted very quickly, and we will find out quickly enough whether this works, at least in the first settings it's being tried in. Hopefully some good will come of this.
Dr. Nigel Paneth, an epidemiologist affiliated with Michigan State University, has been working on establishing the National Convalescent Plasma Project with a group of colleagues. Dr. Paneth, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you, April. All the best.